But beginning with 1 Samuel chapter 27. And if you're there, you can follow along as I read. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul despaired, shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. And so shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, If I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there, for why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day, wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months." Let's take a moment to pray and ask for God's help, and then I'll share this message with you. Our Father, we come to this morning, Lord, expecting asking for your grace and for your help. Dear Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you, God, for the lessons that are contained in it and we can learn from. But Lord, as you know, our ears sometimes are heavy and our hearts are dull of hearing. And we need help, Lord, to listen carefully, to understand and to apply and to obey and to receive from you what you want to teach us today. And so would you please help us with this, Lord? And dear God, I ask you to bring to my heart and mind the words that you want me to say, the things that you've given in study, Lord, but yet sometimes I stumble to speak them. And I pray that, Lord, you'd grant me your grace and that you'd fill me with your Spirit, that you would put your power upon it, that you would work in hearts and change lives. And God, just have your way and have your hand upon us. That's our prayer, Lord, please. And we ask it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We just want to draw your attention, your eyes back to verse 1 for a moment to give you the thought that we want to consider this morning. And that is that we read that David said in his heart. Have you ever talked to yourself? All of us do, right? It's talking to yourself is really nothing more than thinking. We're thinking things, and then every once in a while we find ourselves thinking out loud, right? And that's when we talk to ourselves. And sometimes I hit this phone and it talks to me. I don't know why it does that, even with the ringer off. But anyway, we talk to ourselves. But listen to this thought for a second. Would you believe me if I said that you could be one bad conversation away from making a very bad decision? You could be one bad conversation away from making a decision that the consequences of that decision, the results, the outcome of it, may be devastating. It may be very detrimental to your life or to your family. The reason I say that is because this is what we see here in the life of David. David had a conversation with himself in his heart in verse 1. And it caused him to make a decision that really, when we'll go through the story this morning, and we find out that it brought him to a place where David should have never been. If you've studied the life of David at all, you read about this time where he was a year and 4 months in the Philistines, in the land of the Philistines. And I've read that in the past and sort of scratched my head a little bit and thought, I wonder what David is doing there. What's he doing? What were you thinking, David, you know? I mean, the Philistines, all of you know, they were the enemy, right? They were the enemy of God, the enemy of God's people. They were the enemy of David's life. And we find him going to the land of Philistines. And while he is there, he puts his family at jeopardy. His wives were with him, as we read. And we're going to see in a moment that their lives were threatened and put at risk because of this. We find that his leadership is put into question. I mean, it was a grave decision that David made, and it all came about because he had a conversation with himself about himself. You know, sometimes we are the worst people to listen to. You know what I'm saying? When we talk to ourselves about ourselves, we can sometimes give ourselves the worst advice. We find examples throughout the Bible of the struggles that Christians go through. Paul had an inward battle he described in Romans chapter 7. He talked about the things that I would do, I don't do them. The things that I don't want to do, I end up doing them. And he had this inward battle. He had this inward fight. And we all understand that. If you're saved today, you understand the struggle between the old man and the Spirit of God, between the old man and the new, and that goes on. And when we struggle, when we're going through hard times, when we go through difficulties and storms of life, we can often begin to have the kind of conversation David had with himself and end up in a bad place. I mean, these conversations might go something like this. It's never going to get any better. Or why even try? I guess I'm not supposed to ever be happy. We've had conversations with ourselves like that, right? And when we do, you know, a thought that dominates you inwardly will ultimately drive you outwardly. My pastor, those have been in our church a long time, they've heard me say this numerous times, but Pastor Murphy had a saying. He said, if you think right, you'll live right. If you think wrong, you'll live wrong. And then he would say, thinking is serious business. The Bible says that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, you know the verse, he says, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Because what we fill our mind with, what rolls around in our heads, does affect how we live, and it comes out in our life, and it drives our decisions. And so thoughts that are biblically driven will drive our outward life in a biblical direction. But the opposite of that is true. Thoughts that are, the times that we often have these bad conversations with ourselves usually come in times when we're tired, or times when we are scared, or times when we're discouraged, right? And, you know, we've all been there. We've all felt weary at times, just tired. And you have to be careful when you're tired. I don't mean just, you know, every night I get tired, you know. But, I mean, you know, when you just get down tired, you feel like you just have no energy for days on end. And it's in those kind of times, we have to be careful about making decisions. It's probably not a good time to make big or life-changing decisions when you're tired or discouraged. And this is the place where David was, all right? If you know about the life of David, David has been on the run now for about 7 years when we come to this chapter. You know that Saul was the first king in Israel, and Saul for a time loved David, but David grew in prominence. His recognition in the nation kind of went higher than Saul's. You know, they said Saul hath slain his thousand, but David his tens of thousands. And so Saul got jealous and began to hunt David's life. And David's been on the run now for about 7 years. He's been hiding out in caves and just going from place to place. And all these things have been going on. And Saul was trying to kill him. And so we find David in this chapter at a place in his life where he's just tired. He's weary from this constant running. He's weary of this life that he's living on the run. And so he gets worn down and he has this conversation with himself that I shall one day perish by the hand of Saul. Which, by the way, was a lie. He would not perish by the hand of Saul. But he got discouraged and he had a bad conversation that led him to go into the land of the Philistines. And it's interesting, of course, we can look at it, you know, with the big picture here, we can see it, that it's really not that much longer and this struggle between David and Saul is ended. Because by the time you get to chapter 31, Saul and his son Saul is dead. And David takes the throne. So it's really not that much longer this struggle is going on, but by 7 years, David's gotten to the point where he's discouraged, and he just says, I can't take it anymore. And he flees to the land of the Philistines. And in doing so, as I say, he put his family at jeopardy, his leadership in jeopardy, his life, his future was all put at risk by this decision. I wrote down some things that might help us because I think that some of you are already identifying with the fact that we have been in that place. And we've had those kinds of bad conversations with ourselves before. So what did David forget? There's some things I think that he forgot that led to him making this decision. We're going to go backward a little bit in David's life and then work our way back to here. If you want to go to the chapter 16, 1 Samuel chapter 16, and I believe that we can find that in this, when we get back to where we started, at that place, David had, here's the first point, David had forgotten his calling. He had forgotten his calling. Back in chapter 16 and verse number 11, you might know the story. I don't have time to fill in all the details, but Samuel was sent by God to anoint a king. Saul had been king, but he had been rejected, and God was going to anoint another king. And so he goes to the house of Jesse, and we read in verse number 11, Samuel said unto Jesse, is that where I want to start? Yeah, that's where, verse 11. Are all thy children... Are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. I don't know how long they had to stand, but they weren't going to sit down till he got there. And so they go out and they get David. He's watching the sheep. And verse 12 says, he sent it and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said to Samuel, he said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So here we know this place in David's life. We backed up now a few years back. But David was anointed by God. Samuel came and said, I'm going to anoint a man, a king, to replace Saul one day. And he went down through the sons. He saw the oldest son, Eliab, and he said, surely this must be him. And God said, no, that's not him. And you remember in that, we looked at this verse in our Sunday school class downstairs, that he said about Eliab, he said, don't look on the height of his stature or on his countenance, for God, he said, man looks on the outward, but God looks on the heart. And Saul was a man he was a kingly looking fella, big stature, a nice countenance, but he had not a heart for God, and so he had been rejected. And now God wants a man after his own heart. And so he brings in David. And David's anointed. Now, David is anointed as king, but it's not yet that he takes the throne. And so David is there. I mean, he's just come in from as a shepherd. He's just come in from keeping the sheep. And this all comes about. And I don't know. I don't even can't imagine what all went through David's mind. But as David went back to those sheep, as he's keeping the sheep, he goes back there sometime and he's out there thinking about how God has sent Samuel, how he's been anointed, this calling that's on his life. I imagine now as he's watching the sheep, in his mind he's just thinking about the plan God has for his life. You know, that he has this calling. He's looking forward to one day serving God as the king. And he's thinking about all the purpose of God in his life. And he may not understand all of why God would even choose him, but he has. And so God has put me here. God has done something in my life. God is doing more. He has a purpose. He has a plan. And God has something for my life. But by the time we get to chapter 27, he's forgotten that. He's forgotten that, hey, God has called me for a purpose. God has a will for my life. We all need to remind ourselves, especially in those times when discouragement comes, we need to remind ourselves that God, if He's saved you, He's called you, He has a purpose for your life. And He didn't just save you to, bring you partway along and then to abandon you somewhere in the middle. He's going to bring you all the way. And so don't forget the calling of God. Don't forget that God has a plan for your life, that He has a purpose for your life. We need to remind ourselves of that. I shared with some of our folks this year that in the first time in 17 years, I started having some of those conversations with myself. About myself. And I was thinking that, maybe I've done all I can do as a pastor and perhaps somebody could do a better job than me. And I had thoughts like that, that maybe I should just step aside. But what kept me from doing that was I could not forget that God's called me. God put me here. And if God put me here, then I'm to stay where God put me until He moves me. And so that was what really anchored me still to this place, is that this is God's calling on my life. And I just have to be where God wants me to be. And so we see that, first of all, David forgot his calling. And I just want to remind you this morning, you might be one bad conversation away from leaving the will of God. But don't forget your calling. Secondly, I think David forgot his cause. If you look now in chapter 17, verse 25, you know the story of David and Goliath. David was sent by his dad with some provisions to go out to the armies of Saul, who were faced off against the Philistines, and to deliver this food and so forth. And David goes and he meets up with the armies, and he finds the army of Israel on one side of the valley and the army of the Philistines over there. And every day this giant would come out and he would defy the armies of Israel. He heard Goliath cursing and defying God and making all kinds of threats. And in verse 25, let's pick it up there, he says, "And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake unto the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistines and taketh away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left the few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Now, if I'll try to sum this up for you quickly, but and I'm sure you've thought upon it. David goes there and he sees this, and he's the Philistine, and they tell him, they said, if any man would go and fight against him and overcome him, Saul would give him his daughter. He would be the son-in-law of the king. Saul would make his family free. He would give him riches and wealth. And then his brother Eliab says, David, why'd you come here? I know why you're here. You're just here to see the battle. You just want to, you know, who'd you leave your little flock with? And he was kind of mocking him, you know. But what David goes on to say is, he says, it's not about the reward of the you know, winning the battle. It's not about me coming to see some battle. It's not like, you know, a boy just wants to see the war going on. He said, there's a cause. Is there not a cause? Why should this Philistine stand there and defy the armies of Israel? We are God's people. Why should we be cowering and, you know, and looking a fool when God has promised to give victory? God is going to strengthen us. The battle is the Lord's, right? And so what David is saying there is, is there not a cause? What is the cause? The cause is the honor of God. The cause is the glory of the Lord. And David, at that point, he was, you know, he didn't care about the reward. He didn't care about just seeing a battle. He didn't really care about his own life. He said, there's a cause here that it's more important. It's more important than anything else is the cause of God. That's what he saw. But now, in chapter 27, we'll be that back there in a moment. You don't go there yet. But he'd forgot that cause. He'd forgot there was a calling to live for. He forgot there was a cause to live for. I like history, I guess. And I like, I've always kind of had an interest in the Civil War in America. I grew up in the States, and the Civil War is an interesting war. And there's a movie about the Civil War. I don't often quote movies, but I don't know if you've ever seen this, the Civil War. It's a long movie. My wife hates it. She's like, oh, it's boring. You know, it's man. Men like those kind of things. But in this movie, there's a speech that this actor, he's playing the part of Colonel Chamberlain with the regiment from Maine, and he has these deserters who had deserted, and they told him that you could shoot them. I mean, they're deserters if you want to shoot them. He said, I'm not going to shoot them. And he gives this speech to them, and it's a very moving speech. But basically, in that speech, he tells them, he says, you know, that if you go back through history, armies have fought for riches and loot. Armies have fought for powers and kings and spoils and stuff like that. But he said, this is a different army. We are fighting for the freedom of other men. And he rallied them to this cause. I mean, it's a moving scene. And in that speech, I mean, I was ready to volunteer and go and, you know, fight. And it was just that kind of a speech. Because there was a cause. There's a cause of freedom. A cause, you know, that was worth fighting for. And we have to remember and remind ourselves that never forget that the cause of Christ, the cause of the Lord, the cause of souls that need to be saved, the cause of God is more important than any other cause. And we don't want to lose sight of that. And so, you know, when you have a bad conversation with yourself about yourself and you're discouraged and you're thinking about leaving the will of God or going off in some direction, remember your calling and remember the cause. that'll keep you going in the right direction. And then thirdly, I believe we find that David forgot his convictions. Now we'll go back to chapter 27. We're going to wrap it up. David forgot his convictions. Again, in verse number 1, we read that he said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. And there is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. I told you that was a lie. And it is. If David would have thought about this, God has called me to replace Saul. God's not going to let Saul kill me. Right? If God called him to replace Saul, God's not going to allow Saul to kill David. And he said, you know, there's nothing better. I might as well just go over to the Philistines. You know, and that's why I say when we have these conversations with ourselves about ourselves, we can give ourselves very bad advice. And we can even lie to ourselves. We can forget the truth. We can forget the calling. We can forget the cause. We can forget the conviction that God is still in control. We have those, you know, those lies. We tell ourselves, I'm never going to make it. The best I can do is quit. And David forgot who his enemies really were. His enemies were the Philistines. I mean, they were the enemies of Israel. They were the enemies of David's life. They were the ones that had, you know, all the way back. You can go back into the book of Judges. They were the ones that killed Samson and many of the other judges. The Philistines had oppressed Israel. They took the Ark of the Covenant of God away from Eli and the priest. I mean, these were not David's friends. He goes and he joins himself with the king of Gath. Remember Goliath of Gath? What's he doing? It's really, you might as well say it, he's a traitor at this point. When we grew up in America, that word Benedict Arnold, you know, that was synonymous with being a traitor. That was the name. But anyway, that's what David's doing. He went over to the enemy. He's friends with the king of Gath. And close friends. Look at chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. It came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered the armies together for warfare to fight against who? To fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said unto Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. Because David had been fighting. He had been helping Achish. And it says, And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee keeper of my head forever. What does that say? That means he had so much confidence in David. He said, David, I know you have my back. David, I'm putting you, you know, keeper of my head. I mean, this means that David and the king of Gath are pretty close here. That's the place that David went to. And they were going to fight a battle. He said, you should go out with me to battle. And the battle was against Israel. Now think with me just for a moment. This is the battle against the people who one day David was to be king over. This is the battle in which Saul is killed. Now, had David gone into that battle, how would that have looked later on? They'd said, wait a minute, David, you were in that battle against us. Now you're our king? You were there, you killed our old king. I wonder that if David had gone into that battle, God spares him, but if David had gone into that battle, I'm not sure David would have ever recovered. And you know, there's sometimes when people have bad conversations with themselves about themselves for long enough that they never do recover from the decisions that they make. I have to hurry along here, but we find that this is my last point I wrote down. He forgot who to have a conversation with. Let's go to chapter 30. I'll finish it up. In chapter 30, verse 1, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag. Well, I have to back up a little bit because that's a little too fast forward. David was going to go into the battle, and the generals of the Philistines come. They gather to Achish, the king, and they get their armies together, and then they look and they go, wait a minute, what's this Hebrew doing here? That's what they say. What's he doing here? This is David. I mean, David who was killing us, you know, now what's he doing here? He's not going to fight with us. And Achish is like, well, hey, he's been faithful. He's a good, loyal friend. They said, no, no, no. What if in the midst of the battle he turns on us? And so they said, we're not fighting with David if he's going. And so David did not go to the battle. And God spared him from going. Now, David's coming back. He's sent back out of from the armies. He's on his way back. And when he gets back in verse 1, we started to read in verse chapter 30. the men were come to Ziklag on the third day. And the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag. This is where his family was, remember? And smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So when they're coming back now, they had been rejected out of the army. They're on their way back to Ziklag. And they look up and it's smoldering in its ruins. And fear begins to grip their heart, and they're thinking, what has happened? And they get to the city, and everybody's gone. They don't know whether they've been killed. They don't know whether they've been, you know, captured. They're gone. And if they're captured, these are our wives, our daughters. What are they going to do to them? I mean, fear comes upon them. And to the point where his men, the Bible says, I would read you the verses, but I got to keep going quickly. The Bible says that they wept until they had no more power to weep. They'd cried until there was nothing left. And then they wanted to stone David. This is David's men, his 600 men, who had put their life on the line. They would have given their life for David many times. When David said, I wish I had a drink from the well at Bethlehem, from where I was a child. Two men snuck through the armies, the Philistines, and got a drink and came back. I mean, they risked their life for him. Now they're ready to stone him. Look down now, we'll close, verse 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, well, let's back up, verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughter. Now, look at this, I underlined it. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Finally. Had David done that back at chapter 27, verse 1, he would not be here. If he would have learned to encourage himself in the Lord then, and he finally gets back to where he's talking to God again. And verse number 7, he said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after the troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, thou shalt overtake them, and without fail recover all. Now God was very gracious, and he allowed David to go, and he recovered his family. He recovered the captives. But he finally went to the place he should have long ago. And I'll just try to close it like this. The next time you have a conversation with yourself where you say, I can't take this anymore. I just want out. Where you say things like that. I can't go on. I just can't handle this. And you catch yourself doing that. Why don't you turn and say, God, I can't take this anymore. God, I feel like I just want out. God, I can't go on like this. Rather than talking to yourself, turn it to the Lord. And then you can say, God, I'm going to need you to help me through this. God, I'm going to need you to strengthen me. Lord, I need you to give me grace in this time. When we turn and we begin to talk with God, we're going to find He will be there to help. Our faith will not be, it's no longer the despair of saying, I just can't do this. I'm failed. I'm done. I might as well quit. We can turn to the Lord and say, Lord, you have to help me. Because we might be one bad conversation away from disaster. And so, let me encourage you today to talk with the Lord in those times. When you're tired and discouraged and down, when you feel like there's no hope in sight, turn to God and go before Him. Seek His face. Don't jump into a decision that may have consequences that you will regret later. That's my message for you this morning. Let's stand together.